Turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter number 100. Psalm chapter number 100. And while you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our special, who's going to be singing in just a little bit. It's Ray Tompkins. You know him as Reverend Ray. There he is. We rehearsed. We said no talking, no jokes. But Ray, he's another one that's been coming. You all remember him when he was this big, coming on the bus, and he's been coming faithfully for many years. Lord's given him a talent. He's very good at playing the guitar. He's a good singer too. And when he got into teen church, he would just bug me about being able to sing a special. And I would okay, all right, sometime. Well, he did it. And after that special, myself, Miss Leah, Brother Dan, we were just bawling afterwards just because we were thinking about all that the Lord has done in that young man's life. And so we wanted him to come and sing a special tonight in just a little bit. Stand with me, please. Psalm chapter number 100. If you'll join me on the even numbered verses, we're going to read that entire chapter, those five verses of Psalm chapter number 100. I'll start there on verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for the youth that we have in our church. Lord, thank you so much for the talent that you've given them, and Lord, the desire that they have to use that talent for you. I pray, Lord, that you please continue to grow that desire. And I pray, Lord, that you please just help us to encourage that. Thank you for our pastor who does have an emphasis on the youth. I pray, Lord, that you please bless the service tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.
A multitude had gathered on a hill near Galilee to hear the words of Jesus and his miracles to see. But as the day wore on, his disciples came to say, "There's not enough to feed them, Lord. Should we send him away?" And from a little boy's basket of 5 barley loaves of bread, and with 2 fish, 5,000 hungry people would be fed. Lord, here's my basket. It's not much, I know. So take it and use it. Please don't refuse it. Maybe it will grow. Although I could keep it, I'll give it to you. So Lord, here's my basket. You don't have to ask. It's the least I could do. In each and every life, there's a basket full of goods. Although it may not be used exactly as it should, so many throw it all away or keep it for themselves, while others never use it, they just place it on a shelf. Lord, I know that what you've done for me, my basket can't repay, but maybe with it you could feed some hungry soul along the way. Lord, here's my basket. It's not much, I know, but take it and use it. Please don't refuse it. Maybe it will grow. Although I could keep it, I'll give it to you. So Lord, here's my basket. You don't have to ask. It's the least I could do. So Lord, here's my basket. You don't have to ask. It's the least I could do.
Thank you, man. Super, super. Well, amen. Maybe it will grow. Maybe it will grow. It's what you got to think about when you work with these kids. You plant those seeds. Maybe it will grow. Maybe it will grow. Wonderful. Let me speak to you for a few minutes tonight out of Psalm chapter 100, and I want to draw your attention to one phrase. We'll get into it and ask the Lord to bless us. Lord, thank you for what our hearts have experienced today. It's been just a joy. Beginning with this morning service, those that sang from the bus ministry, and then tonight to hear the teen choir sing about Were It Not for Grace, and then the testimony, and now Ray's song, and the little kids sing the Kings. It's just been good. We love children. Thank you, God, for the privilege to have ministry for them. And I pray that you will perpetuate the ministry of this church. And I pray that the young people will understand that someday it'll be their turn. And I pray, God, that they'll be very willing and ready to take their turn in the succession of faith passed down from generation to generation if you stay in heaven for a while longer. We'd like for you to come back. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, is how John almost closed out the book. And we pray to that end tonight. But if you stay, help us to be prepared to perpetuate great faith of thy book to generations that will follow us. And please, in Jesus' name, I ask it. And amen. Youth emphasis is something that is 52 weeks a year here at our church. We don't have a special day to make ourselves feel good about the youth, about doing things for the kids, and then return to business as usual, neglecting them. I think every calendar year, much time and much effort and even money is invested in the young people. And I think it's a great and wonderful thing. Any decent and caring adult stops every now and then to consider the kids of our church and their future. Maybe you consider your own children and their future, or the future of your grandchildren growing up in the society that is around us today. A parent or a grandparent, you can create a lot of anxiety in your heart by thinking, almost dwelling too long on thoughts about the future of your offspring in light of the world that they are growing up in. It can get scary. I don't dwell on it at length. I think about it from time to time. I enjoy life. I love my life. I wouldn't want to go back and start over again. I wouldn't want to be a child in today's world. But God had given us children. It continues to do so. That's why the last phrase of this familiar psalm, or song as the psalms are known, is so helpful. Now, the whole thing is great. This is the only psalm with this exact heading, a psalm of praise. There is no other psalm with that exact heading. It is one of the most familiar of all the 150 songs that make up the book of Psalms. It is full of grateful adoration to God. Verse 4 exhorts us to enter into the worship of God with thanksgiving and praise and blessing. Boy, I like a service that starts with a thankful and grateful heart. I really do. That's how we're supposed to enter into worship. And verse 5 tells us why we should enter into the worship of God with thanksgiving and praise and blessing. It says there in verse number 5, "For the Lord is good." I like that. God not only does good, God is good. It's inherent in His character, His nature. God is goodness, and goodness is God. And that is a characteristic of God that is unchanging and thankfully not affected by the changing world all around God's people. Thank the Lord that nothing happening here on earth can change the fact that God is good. All right? Number next there, in the middle of the verse, you'll see His mercy is everlasting. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. You did not deserve salvation, but God had mercy on you and gave it to you anyway. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Thank the Lord that that mercy, the Bible tells us, lasts forever. It's a much needed characteristic of God because of how sinful and carnal we are as God's people. Every day we live and breathe is the result of the mercy of God. He owes us nothing. We owe Him everything. Because He has extended mercy to us over and over and over and over again. And according to the Scripture, He will in the future as well. And then the phrase I want to major on for a few minutes tonight, His truth endureth to all generations. Now, brother, here's the thing that God's people ought to sink their teeth into and grab hold of with both hands and never let go. If you ever start worrying about your kids and their future, if any of you teenagers look to the future with a little anxiety, here's what I think you need to remember. God's truth endures. God's truth endures. No matter what the whims and the fancies of mankind may come up with, God's truth endures. Man can't change it or eliminate it. Time can't alter it. God's truth endureth to all generations. I don't care what's happening in America or around the world. There's one thing that will never change. Now or another 50 years from now, if Jesus stays in heaven that long, I don't think He will. But I have no Bible verse on that. That's just my own opinion. But if He stays in heaven another 50 years and the whole society continues to go to hell in a handbag, one thing is certain, God's truth endures. It endures to all generations. All generations. Now, let me give you some observations about that tonight. The three things that will be done. Number one, God's Word is truth. You wonder where truth is? Where God's truth is found? It's found right here in this book you hold in your hand. John 17:17, Jesus said this in prayer to His Father, God, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. God's truth is found in God's Word. We don't need to linger long on this point. We have a book whose truths have endured. They are enduring and they will endure forever. Truth never changes and the truth in God's Bible will be ongoing forever and ever and ever. God created the world in six literal 24-hour days. True and will always be true. God is a Trinity. Three persons in one perfect Godhead. True, and that will always be true. God is the only true God, and all others are false, like we talked about this morning. True, and that will always be true. Jesus is God's Son. He was born of a virgin by divine conception. True, and always will be true. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to provide the payment for man's sin debt. True, and always will be true. Man is sinful by nature. And His only hope of heaven is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. True and always will be true. Heaven and hell are real. True and always will be true. Salvation is by grace through faith and is available to all people, not an elect few, but to whosoever will repent and trust Christ. True and always will be true. God's book, the Holy Bible, is inerrant, inspired, and will not pass away. True and all. You kind of get the idea? God's Word is truth, and it endures to all generations. Now look, I don't know what the future holds. Neither do you. And you get your stomach all worked up in a knot thinking about it if you got little kids. But there's one thing I know. That book right there is going to be around. And the truth in that book endures. And it always will. So God's Word is truth. Number two, I want to say this tonight. Church is primarily a place for God's people to be taught God's truth. Now, a study of the New Testament clearly shows that the assembling of God's people on the Lord's Day was more for the edification of the saved than the evangelizing of the lost. Now, I believe the book of Ephesians teaches that there's a threefold purpose for the church. I believe there's a purpose of evangelizing the sinner, there's the purpose of edifying the saint, and there's the purpose of exalting the Savior. A careful reading of the Scriptures in the book of Acts, in the book of Ephesians, and the book of 1 Timothy especially, And Titus, really. Make it clear that when the saints assembled, it was more for their edification than for the sinner's evangelization. There's nothing wrong with people being saved at church. I like it when folks walk the aisle and trust Christ as their Savior. But friend, that's actually a byproduct of the truth of God being preached and taught at the church. And, you know, to have a special emphasis like we do from time to time to reach unsaved at a church service does not do a disservice to the purpose of the church. And I believe this, if the truth of God is taught faithfully and preached faithfully, it will meet the needs of all people, saved and lost. But technically, I'm doing this for a reason tonight, technically, the church is the place where pastors and teachers are in place, as Ephesians 4:12 says, for the perfecting of the body, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's technically the main purpose for a New Testament church, where saved people assemble to be taught from the truth of God's Word, to be exhorted by the truth of God's Word. If along the way somebody gets saved, amen, that's wonderful. We're happy for that, and we want to see that happening, and I think that should happen from time to time, if not more often, at a New Testament church. But saints ought to be edified. People ought to be taught, and people should be preached to the truth at church on Sunday. I'll say this again. I've said it before. Preaching services and Sunday school classrooms and junior church platforms do not exist for people to expound on their opinions and ideas about all kinds of matters. That's the truth, folks. I try to say that from time to time. I can't be in every class, and I'm including my own class and this pulpit right here. Now, I understand in the class, there's some time for breaking the ice, and in the classrooms, there's some time for give and take, a little banter in a Sunday school time or a King's Kids time or any of that. But the bulk of the time is intended for the lifting up and sounding forth of God's truth. It is His truth that endures forever. Not my opinions, not your opinions. Not my ideas, not your ideas. Not my philosophies or your philosophies. It's His Word that endures forever. That's what ought to be taught. It ought to be taught at church. I won't turn you there tonight for sake of time. But Jeremiah 23 makes it very clear. God called opinions and ideas and philosophies of man chaff. He called the truth of His Word wheat. And He asked the question, what is the chaff to the wheat? When you compare chaff to wheat, brother, as far as nutrition and sustenance and health goes, it's nothing. The chaff is blown away. I remember, you know, once in a while going up to my father-in-law's farm when we served out in Iowa there on Mondays. We took Mondays off, and some Mondays, I said, Dad, do you need any help? He said, well, I'm shelling corn tomorrow. If you want to come, I could use some help. He never pressed on it. He never intruded into our business in those 10 years we lived there. Never did. But once in a while, he said, we're going to shell corn. And I remember the corn sheller. And they picked his field, some of it with a combine, but a lot of times John had the old two-row corn picker that went through the field and picked the ears off of the stalks. This is now, it's all done by combine. And then he had the corn crib, and the ears of corn were stored in the crib. That used to be how farmers everywhere did it before there were combines. And then, you know, those corn cribs had wooden slats, and in John's corn crib there was an elevator that ran in the floor, and he'd move the pieces off of it that covered it. And they'd put that thing in there. Boy, then we would rake out the ears of corn. They'd take the slats out of those walls and rake out the ears of corn. You'd think you kids would have, you talk about mice. Mice ran everywhere. We had more fun stabbing them, kicking them, stomping them. I mean, just they were everywhere. And so, and then the corn, the ears of corn would be taken to the corn sheller. That's how John lost his arm. He lost his arm in a corn sheller. Got it caught in the auger, the glove of his right hand, jerked his hand. But anyway, the chaff, the husks off those ears of corn would pile up over on the side. And, you know, the farmer had something, the farmer had a purpose for the cobs. A lot of times if he had a creek bank or something, he'd take the cobs down and fill in a place that was washed out with the cobs. So there was a purpose for the corn, absolutely. There was a purpose for the cobs, But the chaff had no purpose. Blew away. No purpose. No sustenance. No nutrition. You couldn't even fill a washed out place on the bank of the creek with the chaff. And that's what God asked. What is the chaff? What is my opinion? What's your opinion? What is our philosophy? What are our ideas compared to the wheat? Oh, there's no comparison. No comparison. This is the wheat. And church is the place where the truth of God should be proclaimed faithfully to God's people. Church is the place. Now, the Bible, the God's Word is truth. And the church is the place. And I'm not negating home. I talked about that this morning. Okay? Sure, the Word of God, the truth of God should be proclaimed at home. And dads should teach their children, so forth and so on. But I'm talking about church now. What's the purpose for the church service? It was a place where saved people came and assembled together. And God's Word, God's truth was proclaimed. Now, let me say this, number three. People are needed in order for the truth to be taught to future generations. Folks, God's truth endures. But if there's no voice to proclaim it, then you're going to have a problem. God's truth never changes. But by design, God has chosen to reveal His truth through voices. That's what John the Baptist said. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I'm nobody. I'm just a voice. That's how God's truth is carried forward. From one generation to the next. The truth that is unchanging. The truth that endures forever. The truth that's never affected by anything that happens here on earth. That precious, wonderful truth is proclaimed by voices of human beings from one generation. It's taught by a daddy's voice. It's taught by a mama's voice around the table at the family altar time. But it's taught by men and women and young men and young women at a local New Testament church where saints assemble to be taught the Word of God. Voices are needed to proclaim and teach the truth of God to future generations. It's a wonderful thing that God's truth endures to all generations. If there's one thing that will help the young people in this room, in the future, it is that God's truth endures to all generations. Now look, you know, you can leave your kids a lot of things that are not wrong or bad. I'm not against inheritances, and I think you have to be pretty creative these days to avoid Mr. Obama taking most of it. All right? I'm not against inheritances. You can leave your kids a lot of things that are not wrong or bad. But brother, the greatest thing to pass on to your kids is a strong faith in God's truth. Because all that other stuff will never be the foundation of their life. But brother, if they sink their teeth into God's truth, that book can be the foundation of their life in the future. And I'll tell you what, depending on how all this goes, they're going to need that. And they're going to need the God whose book that is. No matter what they face, God's truth is unchanging and will endure, but it takes a voice. It takes a voice to pass on a knowledge of God's truth to the next generation. At a church like ours, 66 kids, age 3 through 6th grade, and that's not all of them. That's the vast majority. A church like ours, people replacing people, voices replacing voices, must happen if the next group of people is going to be taught. It's got to happen. Voices are necessary for the truth of God to be heard and to be learned. You know, I want to be candid with you for a few minutes here tonight. I was 33 years old when I came to the church here to serve as a pastor. 1990, I was 33 years old, about 33 and a half. And there were a group of people about my age, some older, not many younger. Some were about my age. You could probably take my age, 33, go 5 to 7 years younger, 5 to 7 years older. And really, that was the bulk of Faith Baptist Church, if my memory is correct. And there were some younger. And there was I'm telling you, in those early days, we hardly had any gray-haired saints. We really didn't. I mean, gray-haired saints of God. Like I love to stick my head in the auditorium class where Brian Maxwell teaches and see all those dear saints of God sitting there. That blesses my heart. Boy, church needs that. Church needs that. Those people, a lot of them, have stayed over these years to serve here. these 25 years. Others have come and joined with us. Some were saved here. Some were saved other places and joined. But we have grown older together here serving the Lord. Now, hear what I said. I didn't say we've grown old. I said we've grown older. All right? Serving the Lord. And we have filled the positions at the church that are necessary to pass on the truth of God. And I've been saying for a long time, off and on through the years, that the day is coming when those folks will have to be replaced. Not because they've changed. Not because they don't want to do it in some cases. Stamina. Physical endurance. It's not the same. You don't have as much gas in the tank. Just all the way, that's all there is to it. Brother, when I look at 58 compared to 28, oh, mercy days. And when I go back from 58 to 18, and recall, I think about Brother Jorgensen being here this morning, those college days, oh, Lord, help us. Day after night after night after night, 3 to 4 hours of sleep. You know, and it seemed like if I could get one night of 6 hours, I could recover. If I have a night now with 3 hours of sleep, I need 3 weeks to get over it. Amen? It's crazy. Just the stamina. It's just not there. The energy level. It's not that your heart is not enthusiastic. It's your heart's still enthusiastic, but the body's like, ugh. That's true. And I'm saying, you know, that day is fast approaching where several of the people in key positions are now getting older. In some cases, they have been serving in their capacity for 20 plus years. Now you think about that. 20 years of serving and serving and serving the same position, the same place, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. I remember when Brother Jack Lewis began to lose his stamina, and boy, Jack had a lot of energy. And I remember when he began to lose his stamina and began to halt a little bit physically, you know, and he did so much for us here at the church. And I went to him, I said, Jack, I'm not going to ask you to stop. But I want you to know that when you want to stop, you can stop without any argument from me. When somebody like that who's been faithfully serving comes in and says, I think I need to be done, I'm not going to get on them, folks. I'm not going to chide them. I'm not going to do that at all. I'm going to say, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for 20 years. Thank you for 20 plus years in some cases of serving Sunday. I'm not going to put a soul on a guilt trip who stays in their position for years and years and years, and at age 65 or 70 or 75, and it's not the same for every person. You know that. Everybody ages differently. Some age with more energy than others. But brother, they walk in my office, as some have done in the last few weeks. A lady sat down with me and said, look, you know, I'm 70, I forget, was it one or two, and I just need to give it up. Not one argument from me. Not one, what's the matter with you? And I won't do that. I'll promise all of you that, who have been serving like that for years and years and years, and you're in your place, and it's not as easy as it used to be because age is ongoing. And you know, folks, I'm not discouraged about growing older because the alternative is not very appealing, like I said before. But I'll make you that promise from this pulpit that when you decide it's time for me to hang it up, and you've given years and years and years of faithful service, you're not going to get an argument from me. You're not going to get an argument. I'm not going to chide you. No, sir. But here's the thing. Somebody's got to step in. Somebody's got to step in. And I want to talk to you all just a minute. I want to talk to you young couples. I'm thrilled with the involvement of many of the young couples, right? And I want to say something. You know, these folks that have been serving for 20 years, they served when their kids were little. They served when they had to gather up their children and come to special meetings and work nurseries. And I mean, it was tough, but they did it. And they did it faithfully. Well, I think we ought to wait till the children are all gone. Yeah, so is your energy. So is your energy. These folks have been faithful to serve, and I mean with their children. And when their children were in first grade and second grade, when their children were in the nursery, they didn't wait till their kids were grown up to serve. And it's a good thing because they were energetic. And I'm thankful that some younger ones have stepped in and filled the gap. And I just want to say tonight to all young couple and college age couples and college age young people, and all the teenagers, it's like the Wednesday night lesson a few weeks ago about piano and playing the instrument for church. I hope you young people will see that, you know, some people have invested in you, and one of these days it's going to be your time to invest in somebody else. And I long for a hunger and anticipation and excitement about someday I'll usher. I don't want to usher. No, I don't want to. Someday I'll usher. Someday I'll play the piano. Someday I'll sing in that choir. Someday I'll teach a Sunday school class. Someday I'll drive a bus. An anxiousness, an excitement about serving God in the local New Testament church so that the truth that endures forever can be passed on to the next generation. It takes a voice. It takes a voice. And it's not just the teaching positions. It's not just the teaching positions. It's all the support positions that make the teaching and preaching possible. It's the nursery. You know, folks, if we only asked the ladies who have babies to work in the nursery, they'd have to be out of services unbelievable amounts. It takes people to support. It takes people for King's Kids. It takes people for the bus. It takes support staff so that the Word of God can be taught, so that the Word of God can be preached. I don't know how you, that little group that was over here this morning on this side of the choir loft during those songs, those little girls, I mean, buddy, they were into it. And that blessed my heart. It blesses my heart that those girls have the opportunity to even know those songs as compared to Britney Spears and Miley's, whatever. I mean, goofball, the Cyrus Biley, I don't even know what her name is. They got tattoo studs. Oh, they're nuts. They got to have an opportunity to learn the songs that they sang this morning. And I'm just saying, well, I long for a generation, for the generation that's being invested in, to have the attitude, I look forward to the day that I can turn around and what you gave me, give it to the next group that's coming along behind. I can't wait to usher. I can't wait to drive a bus. I can't wait to work in the Sunday school class. I can't wait to help in junior church. Because I'm going to tell you something. The day's coming. It's already started, folks. With some of the people who've been doing it for 20 and 25 years, are saying, you know what, I got to hang it up. I got to hang it up. And I'm not condemning them. Well, I'm not, and I'm not comparing. Well, brother so-and-so still, brother so-and-so. No. Comparing ourselves among ourselves and measuring ourselves by ourselves is not wise. That may be taken out of the exact context of the interpretation of the context, but the application is true. You cannot compare. And I am thankful. I'm thankful for young people. We're going to make some changes by the first of the year to our 3 o'clock afternoon Sunday school to try to make it more effective for reaching Moray, Tompkins, for the Lord Jesus. They come. That's when you started coming, the 3 o'clock afternoon Sunday school, wasn't it? At 3 o'clock? Yeah. I met him driving the Vacation Bible School bus a few years ago. And, you know, but we're going to make some change. And the changes that we are instituting were the brainstorm of a young man who I guess is about 19 or 20 years of age. And we were talking about it before church tonight, and I said, I'm glad it's your brainstorm. I'm glad it's your child, because you're going to run it. And he said, okay. And that's what's got to happen. If the next generation, The little kids you saw on the platform here tonight, and those kids up here, if they're going to continue to be reached and taught God's Word, then every generation has to shoulder the responsibility at a church. And by the way, I am still of the opinion that it is a blessed privilege to serve God through the ministry of a local New Testament church. And I would believe that if I wasn't the pastor. I believed it before I became a pastor. And I believe it now. The truth of God endures to all generations. And folks, I don't know of anything more important for the future generations than the fact that that book right there endures forever. But as wonderful as that is, God's chosen for voices. Voices. To pass that down from generation to generation. And God's chosen for the church to be one of the places in this New Testament age where that truth is taught and preached. And the Lord knows we need a lot of young people, the 20-year-olds and the 18-year-olds and the 16-year-olds, to stop acting like church is a disease. Quit dragging and frowning and look at serving God the way it really is. It's a privilege beyond words to get to serve the King. And look forward to the day when your phone rings and, hey, do you think you could take this job? Do you think you could do this? And be ready to answer yes. Yes, it's my turn. It's my turn. Let's stand together. Thank you for your attention tonight. Heavenly Father, would you please bless the future of Faith Baptist, Lord, not just for our own good, but for the truth that endures to all generations, so that your truth might be passed down to the generations to come. Lord God, thank you for the young people that you've raised up in this church who are already serving in places and teachers and support groups of people. God, thank you for them. And I pray that, Lord, you'll put it in the hearts of young people to long and be excited for the day. And look forward and anticipate the day that they get to be in a certain position at church and help carry out the necessary work of passing on your truth to the next generation. God, thank you for Youth Emphasis Day. Bless our church, our families, our homes, our young people. Well, thank you for it. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe that's you. Maybe the Lord speaks to your heart tonight. Maybe you're a young person, a child, a teenager. You know, you just ought to come tonight and say, Lord, when it's my turn, I want to be ready. I want to serve you with my life, and I want to give my life to you to serve you. I know you probably have surrendered your life to do God's will. But I mean a specific, Lord, I'm looking forward to the day when I can have a place at church of influence and leadership, and I want to be ready to seize it, to pass down the truth to the next generation. God, speak to your heart to me. If you're already involved, you want to, just if the Lord spoke, you need to be saved, now's the time to come. We're baptized. As God moves on your heart tonight, the ladies are playing a song of invitation. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed tonight. God speaking to your heart.